It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com, presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I love the new music with our special guest here today on Music's Journey. She has really developed a way to be able to draw women in and to be able to empower women, and especially with her new album called All Women. And it's empowering, it's inspiring, and it just draws on the emotions that are raw and real. And that's what I love about Nicole Ray. So welcome, Nicole, to Music's Journey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. You have had a busy year and a busy 2019, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been pretty full, to say the least.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, we're going to talk about, let's go through Dig first, okay? Because that album really solidified you when it comes to Canadian country music and your peers, because you really came onto the map with that one. And tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you. Well, yeah, that was my first full-length album. And yeah, after my first EP, I mean, with the first one, it's, you know, you're kind of just finding your way as an artist and finding your way in this business. And I was, you know, sort of didn't know what I was doing at that point. And Dig, yeah, definitely sort of solidified to me, you know, more my sound as an artist and what I wanted to do with my music. And I worked with Doug Romano on the album. We recorded together. We also wrote a bunch of the tunes on the album together. And that was when I started working with my first manager, Janice Startup from Winnipeg. She kind of found me, and we put this whole plan together to put out the album. And that was definitely, yeah, my first big strides into finding myself as an artist and my place in the industry.
Well, and you also received multiple Ontario music nominations for that album too.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was the first time that I was up officially for a CMA Ontario Award, and then it led to my Rising Star nomination, which was the first big one for me, so I was quite honored by that.
It's pretty amazing to be doing right off your first album.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it's a journey, this career in the industry, and of course, you know, it takes time to sort of establish yourself as an artist, and so I'm so thankful for those who have been early believers and really got on board with me from that first full-length album.
I like the way you said that, it's a journey.
It is a journey.
Everything's a journey. Life's a journey. Music's a journey.
Yeah. It's a long run. It's not a sprint.
Well, you were starting to play a lot of the major music festivals right after that album, and you were on stage, sharing the stage with some of Canada's best. How did that feel during the 4 years? Because, you know, from 2015 to 2018 were pretty hot for you.
Yeah, I was quite honored to grace some big stages during those years and festivals that, you know, I had attended in the past but hadn't been on the stage. And I felt very lucky to get those opportunities, especially opening slots for people like Aaron Pritchett and Brett Kissel. It's just so wonderful when artists that you look up to and admire in the industry recognize you and give you the opportunity to open for them in their show.
And you were also not just doing that. You know, when you were road touring, you also were going across Canada, but you were also going abroad as well. Tell everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, I still can't believe that I've been able to perform on the other side of the world. It's crazy to me. That was an experience that sort of started because my parents were living in Shanghai for a while, and I went to visit them on a trip, and this music festival was going on, and, you know, my music brain's just thinking automatically, okay, how do I get involved? Mm-hmm. So somebody that my dad worked with knew somebody that was working for the festival, and so we sort of got connected, and I sent some of my music over and said, you know, my parents are living here and I'd love to come back and visit and play the festival, and kind of thinking, you know, maybe somebody would never even read it. And they were just so wonderful to offer me a spot in the festival that next year. And the response that I've gotten from the crowd in Shanghai is just unbelievable. I've, you know, never gotten that big of a crowd and just that excited of a response. They've truly, truly just been so wonderful to me over there. And we went back and did that 4 years in a row. And it's crazy. Just been such a crazy experience.
Yeah, because there's such a difference between the crowds here. What does it feel like when you're getting up on stage, say for a Canadian crowd? And you're opening up for Brett, and then you're opening up in Shanghai. What's the difference for you?
I think one of the major things that I notice about the crowds is that, I mean, in Canada we have great music lovers and country music lovers, and you know they're so excited to be at the shows and hanging out. But it's very much about the whole experience. You know, it's about the music, but it's also about being there with your friends and drinking and talking and having a good time. Whereas in Shanghai, they're very focused on the music. Like after a song is over, they all applaud, they're all excited, and then it's back to complete silence. They're so focused what's next.
That's going to be a bit unnerving when you're doing it for the first time, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely a difference going there and doing that for the first time. But I'm so appreciative that, you know, there's people on the other side of the world that listen to my music and appreciate it in that way.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, you know, go there now because there's just such a love of music, period. And, you know, they get behind the songs and, you know, with the karaoke, they just absolutely love it. And they'll imitate everybody, but country music's a big deal over there.
Yeah, they love it. And it was weird to me because I did not know that that genre would necessarily be popular somewhere like Shanghai. And it's crazy how much they do really love it and want to sing along and, yeah, do the karaoke and imitate us.
I think it's just because they just love singing and they just love every aspect of what music brings to them. And they just, they're full of life.
They're very much appreciative of the arts and music and dancing. I mean, even the culture, just, you know, walking around the streets and seeing people in the park on, you know, the middle of a Tuesday and they're all dancing around or singing or playing their instruments. They're very much appreciative of the arts and that's going on in their culture at all times.
So different than, like, we love music here. There's no doubt we live and breathe it, but it's so different experience, like completely. You know, to what it is over there. And I really appreciate that, you know, with everybody there, because it's just when you have that kind of love of life and you see that kind of love of life, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. It's so nice to see that joy of life and arts and, yeah, to kind of take a moment sometimes to, you know, slow down in your day and just appreciate a song or, you know, do a dance.
That's right. And, you know, I just, I appreciate anybody who likes music like that, anybody who likes music and life like that. So it's kind of cool. So I wanted to ask you about that because it's, you know, I know some artists maybe go there first before they even hit the Canadian stages just to get that experience.
Totally. And I think sometimes, I mean, especially here in Canada, you know, sometimes artists do make their way in other cultures and other countries before they're even recognized here in Canada. I don't, you know, I mean, that's not always the case. And of course, there's a lot of appreciative music fans here in Canada. But yeah, it does seem that sometimes there's that experience of sort of making your way elsewhere before you're recognized here at home.
Well, we've got a lot of talent here in Canada. And I think, you know, and we'll be talking about that later on in the interview here, how hard it is to get on radio. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, very, very difficult. And that's why I think a lot of these artists, you know, are getting sponsored to go abroad and be able to share their music on other stages before they even do it on our own homeland, right? Makes 100%. A big difference. Now, we want to talk about the one that you came out with that just started so much for you, and that's called Fireproof. So let's talk about that song and the meaning for it and how that one came about.
Yeah, this is such a special one for me. It really does mean so much to me, and I think it really says what I stand for as an artist. This was one that, so I did not write this tune. My manager, Janice, at the time brought this song to me, and we were writing, you know, Dig had come out and we were working towards the next project, and I was doing a lot of writing, but we were also getting some pitches. And so she got a whole list and she sent this one to me, and it immediately stood out to me as one that spoke to me as an artist. And especially as an artist who writes, when you record somebody else's tune, it has to speak to you on that level and say something that you would have wanted to say as an artist mm-hmm. in your writing. And this song really did that for me. And we were actually on a radio tour with Dig, and we were listening to these tunes in the car, and I just fell in love with it. And we listened to it on repeat for like the whole radio tour.
Wow.
And yeah, I just knew that it was something special and really a song that I wanted to share. And yeah, to this date, it's my most streamed song. And I think it's because it's a message that really resonates with people, you know, no matter what's happening in life, we all go through our trials and tribulations, but you know, we all have to get back up because we're fireproof, baby.
That's right. We got to come up the other side. So let's play Fireproof by Canadian country artist, Nicole Ray.
You bring me once before and I never saw it coming. Some new ones at the door, heartbreak. Your kiss left sweat on my skin. You're like an automatic flame, you're coming back around. That was the never again and you can't touch me now. So go on and pour the gasoline, combine it through the lighter. I can take the
Nicole Ray on Music's Journey. That girl is on fire. No, wait. She's fireproof. Never mind. Let's get back to Nicole Ray with your very special host. Here is Kim Sear.
It's amazing when a song connects with you like that. And you know that that's just, you know, that's just a song that you have to release. And you knew that right off the top with that one. It's got such a great message to it. And it doesn't matter, you know, what age you are, what gender you are, you know, this song would apply to anybody. And especially now, right? You know, this song would still be playing, you know, the sharing and the streaming right now, just because of the message that everybody's going through something tough. And no matter what, it might be rough, but you know what? You got to get right back up, as you said, and you got to be fireproof no matter what's going on in your life and come out the other side, walk through that fear and get exactly. to the other side. So it's such a great, great message. And I'm so glad you released that one. Now, let's talk about All Women, because man, if things hadn't changed for you before, you know, off of Dig, this certainly opened up an awful lot of doors for you, you know, when it comes to this and what you chose to do with this. And that's what I'm really excited about. So let's talk about the album All Women.
This album has just been, yeah, it's so special to me. It's even more I've found my voice as an artist and what I want to say. And I've always had this passion for, you know, empowering women and empowering myself as a woman. And I think a lot of times in the past, I wasn't sure how to express that or how to say it, or maybe I was just afraid to say it. And mm-hmm. with this album, I feel like I truly just really came out and expressed that and said what I wanted to say as a woman. And I couldn't be more excited to have that out there.
Well, it's really important to you, at least from what I'm hearing off this album, is to keep it real, to try to hone in on those real life issues and bring those to life in a story.
Definitely. I mean, to me as an artist, it's always been most important to be honest and to have honest lyrics and share my experiences honestly with my audience, because that's what we love about music. You know, mm-hmm. that's what I love about music. Growing up listening to music, it was about feeling less alone because somebody else was singing about, you know, a real life experience of theirs that you related to. And so I'm trying to do the same as an artist, you know, be honest about my life and my experiences and hope that that brings comfort to somebody else listening.
Well, yeah, because I think we had two song artists that were on yesterday, and, you know, one that's been doing it for 30 years and, you know, somebody that's the same age as you. And so she's a singer, but a really great songwriter. And with the other artist that has been writing for so many years, it takes a long time to feel comfortable, to get into that skin, you know, to be able to say, listen, you know, I don't know why I want to write this one. These are the ones that, you know, they keep aside and never want to see the light of day. And, yeah. you know, they don't intend on putting it out. And yet those are the ones that do the best.
Definitely. And I think that's because obviously as listeners of music, I think we best relate to things that are authentic. You know, you can kind of tell when it doesn't feel like it's real from an mm-hmm. artist. And when it's really coming from that real honest place, it's so easy to, you know, relate to that and feel those emotions that that artist is expressing through their music.
Was there an influence for you? Because I know that it takes time to figure that out, right? You know, you want to be able to sing maybe something that the label wants you to sing, or they're pitching you a song that might not be quite you. Mm-hmm. And to be able to recognize that right away at your age, and to be able to turn around and say, nope, you know what? This is not me. This is not what I want to represent. These are the songs that connect to me, and I want to keep it real. What influences did you have to have that kind of feeling so early?
Well, personally, it has just been something that's been important to me. And you know, that could be just the way I was raised and the integrity of my parents. But yeah, I always... You know, I've never been a really good faker. Like, I definitely couldn't get behind a song that I don't truly love and just kind of fake it till mm-hmm. I make it. I'm pretty hard on my sleeve kind of person. So you'd know if I was not being honest. But I think it's definitely the team I've surrounded myself with. You know, working with my first manager, Jana Startup, she was just truly the most wonderful woman. She was so hardworking, but she was so honest about, you know, her way in the business. You know, if she was feeling upset about something, or, you know, felt frustrated or hurt or happy or good, she was always very hard on her sleeve too, and wasn't afraid to just be open and honest about how she felt, and just being a strong, confident woman in the industry. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, sometimes as women that we feel that we're inferior to the men in the industry, and that's horrible and can be hard, but it's so nice to have those role models of people who are just like, no, you know, I'm a strong, independent woman and I'm just here to fight for what I want. And so I really have had that in a lot of women that I've worked with, role models to that, you know, were very honest to just be who they were. And that, mm-hmm. you know, inspired me to do the same.
And you touched on something there, and that's, you know, really difficult. And, you know, I don't think that, I don't think fans realize how difficult it is for women to get on radio.
It's crazy.
Shouldn't
it's
be.
It's still something
but
that
it
I'm
is.
Trying to wrap my head around. I mean, I don't understand why. There's yeah. so many talented females that are amazing, and I just don't quite understand this sort of, I don't know what it is, this old-fashioned way of thinking, I feel like, in my mind, that for some reason, radio feels like fans want to hear more male voices than female. And I just don't think personally that's true, but it's frustrating to me as a mm-hmm. female artist and watching, you know, other females who work in the industry, whether it be artists or writers or producers, and seeing them not get as many opportunities because they're women mm-hmm. and not, you know, it has nothing to do with their talent or abilities. And of course there's a lot of talented men as well in the industry, but it seems like, you know, you're a step down for some reason if you're a woman in the industry. And yeah, I'm still trying to figure out why.
Well, because I think, you know, for women, I don't know what has happened along the road, but I know in the last couple of years, you're seeing the women starting to rise up on the podium. And
yes.
they're starting to win most of the awards, which is really, really great to see and really getting recognized. But I think it also, fans don't understand the role that they play.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they even know that if they absolutely love a song, with Spotify and Amazon and all the different streaming platforms that they have right now, to be able to listen to the whole album or listen to songs that they wouldn't have normally been exposed to, because, you mm-hmm. know, if it's not played on radio, they don't hear it. So
right.
if they can turn around and go on a streaming platform and listen to something, they can go to their local country radio station or rock radio station and they can turn around and say, you know what, I really love this song and I would love to have this played, and it'll get played.
Oh, yes. It makes all the difference.
Yeah. And I think that if fans hear this interview, they're going to remember that, because they have the power. It's not so much the radio stations and the music directors that are, you know, having control of that. If fans are requesting songs, they'll play it. And that's 100%. How we get it out there. And I think that if we just remind everybody, you know, take a listen
yes,
on Spotify.
Friendly reminder.
Yes, listen on Spotify, do all of that and all the different music streaming platforms. Listen to the songs that you love. And again, too, you know, when it comes with the labels, they might have certain songs that they want to release off the album. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there might be other songs on there that would connect so much, you know, but just don't get the light on radio. And that's something too, you know, they can request that song and it just brings more of that album out. And
totally.
I think with live streaming, that's really helped out women quite a bit in this industry.
Definitely. Having other avenues to get music heard and recognized by fans right now is definitely making such a difference, and I'm glad to see that women are making strides and that things are taking a turn in the industry, because it's definitely time for it.
Well, we got some amazing talent out there. Like, Canada is just loaded, you know, when it comes to pop singers and Canadian country artists, you know, that are female. Same thing with the rock genre. There is so much out there, and you know, I hear it all the time and going, why is this person not on radio? And that's a big part of the podcast too, is we want to be able to bring out some of these artists that might not be on the radio yet, but we're hoping to get them there.
Yes, well, it's very much appreciated, especially, you know, from independent artists like myself. Any other avenues that support artists and are a way to share music that's not necessarily being played on the hit playlist or the radio right now is a huge help.
Nicole and Kim, if I can add in, I've been in radio for 41 years and I've heard the other side of the story, and I can shed a little bit of light on what's happened
and why it's happened. Not that I agree with it, because I don't, but there are some big stations in the US that are controlled by one person, and they control the music for, say, 20 stations or 15 stations or 10. And their logic is, because of tests, they are saying for the male audience, when they're listening to the radio, they can't connect to what the women are saying. Mm-hmm. They're standing up, they're, and you know, God love them. Yes, that's great. That's wonderful. But they can't relate to that. And for the females, their response is they would rather hear a male voice singing on the radio to them than a lot of females singing to them. They'll buy their CDs, they'll love them, but listening to the radio, the response was, we would rather hear a male voice. And these people have run with that. And they said, okay, any advantage we can take, we're going to do it. And that's why a lot of stations, not all of them, none of the stations I've worked for, because I disagree with that, but a lot of stations tend to pull back on the female artists. They'll play the big names, because they're, you know, guaranteed hits. People know Reba, people know Michelle Wright, they know, you know, these bigger names. The newcomers have a difficult time, and I don't know if that helps. I mean, it doesn't help you, I get that, but maybe it'll help you to understand a little bit. And it's fighting for that spot when a radio station has three spots open that week, because they can't just add everybody, because there's so many songs out there that you'd never hear the hit songs if they added all the songs. So
of course
you're actually fighting against people like Miranda Lambert and you know, all the big names, that when they've got three openings, would they rather add a Miranda Lambert, and no offense, or Nicole Ray? Do you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
So what you've got to do is you've got to fight for that spot. And I'm saying there are not all stations are like that, but there are a lot of them. But you got to fight for that spot and do it, because they will listen to you. And if you can, when this COVID thing ends, one thing that really helps is the radio tours. If you can do absolutely. That, a lot of stations will jump on board with you, and they can meet you, see you, and understand you and know what you're like. That goes a long way for radio stations to add you.
I think that COVID also too has really done a lot of young artists, new artists, a great favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of laid out an equal playing field, because you know, when the tours haven't happened, you're seeing the younger, hungry artists getting up and doing live streaming and knowing how to do social media a lot better and easier. When I'm looking at it, and I've been doing so much research over the last 30 years, so many women are up there telling their stories, and fans are connecting to them. And, you know, that's allowing them to get into those deeper songs. And it's really appreciated today. I don't think it's the same as what it used to be at all. I think that a lot of women are getting up there. Megan Patrick, you know, obviously Carrie Underwood had to start that way. Mm-hmm. Kelly Clarkson. It's just so much that has taken place in music that they have kind of, you know, laid that path down. And you've got a voice, and I said this last night when I was listening to some of your music, you do sound like Kelly.
You do.
Thank you. I grew up listening to all her music. She's like a huge idol of mine.
Yeah, and she's a great inspiration, and she does not hold back. And that's what I think I love so much about you, is because you're not afraid to be real. And the more real you are, the more the fans are going to like you. But I'm just calling out on all the fans here, because you know what? The radio stations have certain control, but the fans have got more control. And that's the message that we want to drive home today, is that if you want an artist on the radio, you have all the power in the order to get them on there.
Yes, because even, you know, when we were talking about the radio station, I understand that they have, you know, certain tests that they run and then things that they have to follow based on the results. And, you know, it makes sense if people are saying, oh, we want to hear males, then of course that's what they're going to play.
Yeah.
But it's also a little bit about people want to hear what they're familiar with.
That's right.
Because, you know, you get in the car and you hear a song that you know, that's the best feeling, when you can sing along and, you know, you're having a blast because you know the song. And I think that's where the problem lies sometimes, is that I get there's only so much room, but then we have to make room to try out new artists and give new artists a chance, so that if we hear those songs, then maybe those are the songs that we love and now we know and we want to request and hear on the radio. And you know, I understand that the margin is just so slim and there's not room to play everybody's song. And I appreciate that, you know, you have to work hard and go at it. And that's definitely always been my philosophy as an artist. I mean, I'm almost going on 10 years in this industry now. And I think that is, you know, where it lies. You got to just work hard and hopefully at some point somebody will give you that opportunity. But we definitely need to give those opportunities, I think, so that those are the songs that we now recognize and the ones that we want to request and want to be played.
And the other thing too, you know, that we keep tapping on every once in a while, but we did yesterday for sure, but I'm going to say it again today. When it comes to independent artists, what it's like for you guys just to go on radio tour, just for the capability for you guys to go into a studio and to have studio musicians or have a band that you got, you know, that's going to come in and make that song sound just half decent. You might have a phenomenal song you've written and you know that it deserves to be out on radio. You know that it was going to be a hit song, but what you have to go through financially, what you guys have to put out there, you guys have to, like, everybody now, I think, realizes that it takes two incomes in a family home now to be able to handle rent and the bills and everything that's coming out now.
It's a lot.
It does. And then for you guys, you know, as artists coming up, it's a whole different world than what it used to be. Labels used to pay for a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen anymore. Independent artists that are trying to get signed, that are sitting there working so hard, they are on, you know, 24/7 on social media. They are doing everything they can to raise the funds just to get gas to do the tour.
Oh, 100%.
Let alone producing your own record and getting into, you know, just one single or three songs on an EP that you can release to radio. It costs so much money.
It's a lot. I honestly, it's scary, but I joke a lot of the time that it's the only career we have to pay to go to work. I mean, yeah, it takes a lot of money in before you can sort of see money out on the other side, and especially as independent artists and, you know, having to maybe apply for grants or find people who can help support you, because it's definitely a big financial burden to try to make this music yourself.
I know that when I was doing some shows that I was putting together, and I knew that there was some great voices out there and I'd met them and, you know, come out to cover them, and they're saying, listen, anything that you can do, and I'd go to put them in a show and they just couldn't afford to hire a guitar player. So they couldn't do the show. So,
and that's
how
another
tough
thing too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's really tough. And I don't think fans realize that, what it takes to put out one record.
It's so much going in to then make, you know, maybe pennies for people to stream it on the other side.
And that's right.
That, I've been trying to, you know, reach fans right now a lot by trying to get people to buy artists merch, you know, my merch, other artists merch, because right now, you know, there are no live shows, so you can't even go to a gig and try to make money. So right now, you know, it's all coming from online work. And if fans, you know, have $10 to buy a t-shirt or a CD, that just goes such a long way, especially for independent artists.
And if I can add, you now have a spooky sale going on your merch page.
I do, yes. $10 off.
Tell everybody where they can find your merch right now.
So yes, you can head over to my website, which is NicoleRayWithTwoEyes.com, and click on the store tab. And yes, we are having a spooky sale, $10 off all apparel. Halloween is like my favorite holiday. This time of year is my absolute favorite. I love spooky season. So this was the perfect time for me to throw a sale.
I love the idea with the sunglasses. Can you tell me what they're called?
Nicole Ray bands.
love it.
Yes, that I couldn't pass up that pun. It was too good to not make sunglasses.
Are you selling your hats?
Hats?
Come on.
What hats?
You've been wearing a lot of hats, some pretty cool hats, and you're a fashion girl.
Thank you. I've been, you know, spending too much money online. You know, when you're stuck at home, there's a lot of online shopping that happens. But yeah, I've cultivated quite a hat collection. They're now hanging up on my wall. I had a hat rack, and then there was too many on top of each other. I had to resort to new methods.
That's funny. Well, you know what? It's just, it's so important that we can, if we can help out in any way, send me something. Okay. And I'm telling you, we will be able to help you out, and I can put it up on the magazine and everything too. So we'll put that up on Now and Then magazine for your merch. And well, hopefully we can get some sales for you, girl. Cause you know what? We know what it's like to be able to go out there. And you know, it's funny when you talk about just the radio and artists, but I think it comes in every aspect of life, even for John and myself. Like if we aren't out covering shows, and you have the bigger entities, you know, that are allowed to have more than one person going out and covering a show, most of the time it's only 8 slots.
Right.
And I might have been a veteran in the pit at one time, and you know, the person that was showing the ropes to everybody else. And when you're in the pit and doing all that information and you know, the shoots, the photos, the social media, all of that stuff, and now, you know, it's 8 spots to cover the Junos, it's 8 spots to cover MTV. They're going to allow the TV stations in now in comparison to in the top newspapers. And you might get a write-up, but they're not going to get the same coverage you're going to get, you know, with people like us. And
everything is just so competitive. And
that's right.
And unfortunately, there's like less and less spots for things sometimes. And I feel like that can be so frustrating in this industry, because especially, you know, for all of us who are friends, you know, we want to support each other and see each other rise up. I don't want to be competing for the one spot against people who I admire.
But unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But the one thing I have to say about Canadians is they really get on board and support each other, especially in the country genre. Like you guys are like brothers and sisters. Like if if you got a show coming out, you got the West Coast all on there tweeting for you. And, you know, hey, so-and-so's got a single coming out. You guys are amazing together. And that's the one thing I love about Canadians.
I do love that too about country music. I think it's much more of a family as a genre than some of the other ones that are a little more, you know, cutthroat. And I do love that aspect, that there are a lot of very supportive people in the industry, and we're more, you know, friends and family than necessarily, you know, hating each other.
Have you gotten some great advice from somebody that you've been on tour with that just meant so much to you?
Oh my goodness. Well, when I opened for Brett, he was very, very kind to me and came and spoke with me after and gave me a very nice card, which I have hanging in my office here. And he just, you know, talked a lot about hard work. And, you know, he was joking around like, oh, you know, I don't have the best voice ever, but I work really hard and that's what you have to do. And I very much appreciate that attitude and that philosophy and something that I truly believe in too, because it, like, you know, everything we've been talking about, it's so much work and everything that you have to do to put into it. But I think if you're that passionate about it and it's that important to you, then you just have to keep going and you have to work hard and your time will come.
And you, the one thing about Brett, what you see is exactly what you get. He is the most humble, sweetest, gentle soul. And he absolutely would do anything for a fan just as much as he would for his own family. And that's the one thing that, you know, he's just an incredible human being all the way around.
He should have a t-shirt with that. With Brett, it's what you get.
Brett is what you get. I like that. He goes above and beyond as an entertainer for his fans. And I really appreciate that. And I think that's something that's so important as an artist. I mean, of course, it's important to have a good song and be a good singer. But to be able to perform as he does and connect with his audience as he does, that's what's so important.
And he works hard. Oh my God.
I believe that.
You know, but he also is so close to his family. Like, he has really got it together to know what it's like to be able to keep the family unit, you know, just as important as his career. And I don't know how he does it with the schedule that guy keeps. I swear to God.
I'm not sure how he balances that, but he does it well. And he has the most adorable family.
Oh my God, doesn't he? He really does. You know, so I'm really proud of him. So now let's get back to your amazing album here, because we're going to play your track, which is the name of your album, and that's All Woman.
This song is so special to me. It's something that I've really wanted to write for a long time. I have a lot of songs about, you know, relationships and relationships starting and ending and my feelings towards that. And for so long, I just really wanted to write something that was independent of that. That was just not about a relationship anyway. That was just about a self relationship and how I feel as a woman and what it means to me to be a woman. And ironically, I wrote it with three dudes, but but they really, you know, helped me put into words how it feels to be a woman.
Really?
Yeah, Nolan, actually, one of the songwriters, he's from LA, and I wrote it with him and the producers of the song, JVP and Brian House. And Nolan, he's married and he has a couple daughters, and he's like, oh, I understand. I'm just surrounded by women. Like, he was very much on board with the songwriting for this song.
You know how many women are going to be calling him right now, going, listen, I need you to help me with this right now. I need this from a perspective of a woman. Come on.
That's funny.
Yeah. If you need help voicing your women's roar, Nolan can still help you as a guy.
Well, I know Brian Howes, like, he is an amazing producer, and he does some incredible work. So I understand with Brian, but I didn't know about him. So now you've just let us know about him. So let's play the title track right now off your new album. And here's All Woman by Nicole Ray on Music's Journey.
Beautiful and broken, introverted and unspoken, you know. Yeah, you know. Labels get me going. I'm as guarded as I'm open, I know. But I grow.
All Woman, a song co-written by Nicole Ray and three other dudes. Pretty interesting. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast once again. Here's your host, Kim Sear, with a very special guest, a gal who wears many hats, literally. Here's Nicole Ray.
I think it's so important for a writer that you get the opportunity to release an album like this and your title track, All Woman. The whole amount of songs that are on here, every single one of them have such an empowering message of their own. And I think it's just incredible when it doesn't matter, even if you are 10 years old or, you know, whether or not you're older in your years like I am, to turn around and be able to see the power of what these words can do and change in somebody's life. And that, kudos to you for that. That is an amazing, amazing song. Really great.
Well, thank you. Great, thank you very much.
Great message. And I want to be able to kick things off for that movement for you, because you know what? You started Girl Talk. Everything's come off of this album. So talk about Girl Talk for us.
So yeah, that was sort of the first thing that I started, inspired by this female empowerment that I really, you know, was finally sharing with my fans and with the world. And I was at the Moonshine Cafe, which is a wonderful venue in Oakville, which I've had the pleasure of playing at for pretty much 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And John, who owns it, is just wonderful. He's such a huge supporter of music and independent artists. And so, yeah, I was there for another showcase that was going on. And I said to John, oh, you know, I really wish that there could be more of these, but just with all women. Like, I really just wanted to do something that's girl power. And he said, okay, great. Tell me what day. I'll give you a date and you can host whatever you want. And so I was so thankful to John for giving me the space to do it. And yeah, I had my friend Alessia Cole jump on board with me, and we just decided to start this Girl Talk, which was so much fun in the last year. I'm really sad that we can't go out and do it live right now at the Moonshine. But yeah, it's just been all female artists, and we have a little bit of fun. You know, we just talk girl chat, chit chat, and showcase female artists and showcase female singers and songwriters, and I've just had the best time doing it.
And that's not the only thing you've done.
It carries on.
So let's discuss those other two, you know, because then you did an all-woman music. That was really, really cool. Talk about that one before we get to the third one you've done. So go ahead.
Yeah. So after the momentum of Girl Talk, I really wanted to do even more and start another thing and make it bigger. And so I decided to just start this Instagram page called All Woman Music. And I really just wanted it to be a place where I could share and support female artists and not just country, beyond, mm-hmm. just all females in music. And then I thought, okay, great, well, I'll start another showcase with all woman music. And of course, COVID hit right when I was about to do the first live one at the Moonshine. You know, threw a lot of wrenches and plans this year. But so I thought, I'll just take this online and see what we can do with it. And it's been an incredible journey doing this online, because I've been able to have guests on the show that I wouldn't, you know, normally be able to have, people who don't live in Ontario, artists from the States and all across Canada. And I can't believe that it's like, I'm already going to be going on to, I think, the 8th one in November. It's been doing, yeah, one a month since March, and they've been so great. And I'm just happy to have a platform too online to share all these women's music and for us to, you know, kind of have a little girl party online where we can all talk and support each other.
Did you contact the Command Sisters?
I have been talking with them. I have their new song on the All Woman playlist, but I would love to get them on the show. Those girls are so sweet. I've played a couple shows with them before, and they're amazing.
They
just blow my mind
good.
Every time.
What you need is the Command Sisters, and you need the Heels on your show at the same time.
Yes. I know, I've been following them. They were a little newer to me lately. Like, I know they've been around for a while, but I had just kind of started listening to their music in this last year, and oh my God, they're so great.
Oh no, you get Girl Talk, girl. You get Girl Talk with those two bands.
Yeah,
I'm telling
I think
you,
that would be a party.
That would be a party, because they have Wine at 9 that they have, their show, and you know, it'd just be perfect. So those are the two you get to get on there. Tell them I said so.
I would love to. I will definitely tell them you sent me. My list is getting so long. I've honestly thought about starting to do more than one a month, which
you know what? You could probably do.
A lot of work as it is, but like there's just so many talented females. It's insane. I have a whole note in my phone and the list is getting very long.
Well, just look how many women are going to be turning to you to say, "Okay, you know what? I need to be heard today and my music." And then the fans get to hear it, right? And mm-hmm. So that whole circle can start knocking on the doors of all those radio stations, right?
Absolutely. So,
and you've also created, I know Susie Corey we had on, I think it was our very first podcast. She's a good friend of mine. And
love Susie.
Yeah, and she started her love movement, and then you started your all-female festival. You're a busy girl.
I know. I have a problem. I don't know how to sit around and do nothing. I do it for like 5 minutes and then I'm like, okay, I should be doing something right now. So yeah, this was sort of an idea that I had back in almost a year ago now, in November actually of last year. And I was in Winnipeg. I was there doing some shows, and a lot of festivals, you know, start announcing in November what their lineups are going to be for the summer. And a whole bunch had come out while I was there, and they were just all guys. It was just a whole guy show. And I was just, everyone that came out, I was like, are you serious? Like, no females headlining? And I was getting so frustrated. And so I just remember calling my mom, and I was like, Mom, what are we going to do about this? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, we're never going to get on a lineup if it's all men all the time. And I said to her, oh, I'm just going to start my own festival. And I feel like she thought I was a little bit crazy at the time. But my parents honestly jumped on board and are the only reason I truly, truly made this happen. They were such big supporters and did so much work for me to help me out with this. But yeah, I was like, well, I'll just figure it out, how to put on a festival. I have no knowledge of how to do this, but I'm just going to work it out. And yeah, originally we had wanted to have, you know, an actual festival where people could walk around and enjoy the music. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course, with this year being what it was okay, figure out a new way to put this on. And so we held it, yes, it was called Harmonia Fest, and we held it at the Italian Cultural Center of Milton. And Rosanna, who's the president there, was just a huge, huge help. She's put on a lot of events, so I really couldn't have done it without her and all her volunteers as well. And I'm just so happy it was a success. It was so wonderful to provide this opportunity to showcase all these amazing women and their talents. And I'm so glad people came out and supported women. And it's just, you know,
woman harmony.
Maybe nobody will show up, but no, it was great. And I'm so thankful to the fans that, you know, proved to me that people do want to hear women.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I love the name because it's like Harmonia.
Right?
Harmonia,
yes.
Festival for female artists. That was awesome. What a great name.
It took me a while to come up with that. We went through some other options. I was also on the phone with my mom because she gets all the calls when I'm like trying to figure something out.
What's your mom's name?
Sally.
Great shout out to you, Sally. What a great job.
Hey,
you are
Sally.
So awesome. Yes. Thank you for doing that.
She deserves it. She's my number one. I like literally call her every day. I'm like, Mom, I need help.
Well, you know what? Everybody's going to be calling your mom and saying thank you. And we're saying thank you to Sally. Thank you, Sally. We really appreciate it.
Love you, Mom.
Love you, Mom.
I'm going to cry when she gets to listening to this part of the interview because she listens to everything, so she'll hear it.
We love you too, Mom.
Oh, you know, it's so nice to be able to see, you know, how much the families get behind, and that's the way it should be. But man, what, as I said, you just had your whole Nicole Ray movement. You know, it's just been a total movement, and that just goes to show you what hard work does and what creativity can be and making things happen. And you didn't wait for something to happen for you. You did it yourself, and that's, look what it's done.
You know? And that's always been my philosophy. You know, you can't wait around for somebody to hand you an opportunity. You just have to go out and create it yourself.
Now I gotta lead right into the song because it kind of fits with this whole thing. So, Unfinished. unfinished. Yes. Because you obviously had something that was unfinished, and that's what this whole song's about. So we're going to play it, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what this whole song means to you. So let's play Unfinished with Nicole Ray on Music's Journey.
Try to put it down, but I pick it back up. It's hard to let go of a paperback love. I can still see you young and wild. Something about us never out of style. Don't you wanna know how it ends? Don't you wanna know how it ends? We were one stroke away from a masterpiece. We were one note away from a symphony. We were almost so close to heaven. You were 18 skinny jeans from out of town, and I was that funk that you couldn't put down. We were almost so close if we were meant to be. And if we roll this up, we can write us right back in it. Unfinished. We were one note away from a symphony. We were almost so close to having everything.
Having everything.
You were 18 skinny jeans from out of town, and that was that funk that you couldn't put down. We were almost so close if we were meant to be. And if we roll this up, we can write us right back in it. And if we roll this up, we can write us.
From the album All Woman, the EP, there's Unfinished, Nicole Ray, wearing her Nicole Ray bands right now, I would hope. Let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here is your host, Kim Sear.
The spooky Ray bands. The spooky, spooky Ray bands.
They're purple.
The purple, I know.
Well, they've got a purple.
Yes. Everything's purple.
Yes, yeah. You gotta look purple.
Your favorite. It was gonna be one of my questions at the end is what your favorite color is, but I didn't need to guess that. It's right there.
Yeah, it's not hard to guess for me. Pretty much everything I own in my life.
Your
is
website.
Purple.
They're black sunglasses. Yeah. The frames are black, yeah. But they have the purple gradient lenses, which is pretty cool.
Yes, yeah, so then you can see life in purple as I do.
That's really cool. You're gonna get a lot of calls on that one, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Yes. Now, Unfinished is about a very special love story for you and a special person in your band.
Yes.
So let's hear about this story.
So yeah, this is my real life love story song, as I always call it. And yeah, it's about my boyfriend Damon, who also has been playing so much guitar for me through
COVID.
So thank you, Damon. We love you and appreciate you. He's really saved my butt because I don't play guitar. And with all these live stream shows at home, if he wasn't helping me, I'm not sure what I'd be doing.
Oh.
So he is the absolute best. And yeah, this song just is, yeah, it's our real life love story. We met when we were about 18 years old. We met through a mutual friend and we got together and we actually moved in together and lived together in Toronto for a little while. But we were young and, you know, it was hard. We were still kind of trying to figure out what we wanted out of life. And so at one point we went our separate ways and we actually didn't talk for about 4 years. And even in that time, I kind of just had this feeling that, you know, something was unfinished between us, that there was going to be more to the story and another chapter in our book. And, you know, lo and behold, we found each other again, and now we've been together for 4 years. And so I really, really wanted to write something that explained that feeling, because I think it's, you know, I'm not alone in that story. I think mm-hmm. a lot of people have, you know, met the one, and just life and timing sometimes gets in the way, but you just know that it's meant to work out with that person.
It's kind of funny. I'm looking at him right now. Because we had met 7 years.
Okay, wait a minute.
Oh, hang on.
I'm holding the dog because the dog got excited when we started applauding. So keep her quiet. I'm holding the dog. So I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Me or the dog?
You.
Oh, thank you.
Because we kind of met in the pit and I didn't really know much about story.
That sounds horrible.
I'm backing right up on that one.
Wait. As photographers, when you shoot a concert, you're either behind the soundboard, which is about halfway back in the crowd, or you're what's called in the pit, which is down at the front of the stage, where the crowd can't see you and you shoot up at the artist. So that's kind of where we met at a number of concerts.
And he was really slick about it because he sent me a photo, which, you know, you could see that was just kind of his way of getting to know women, right? So he'd take a photo of the women photographers, and he'd send one to me, and I couldn't remember where I got the photo, but, you know, I put it up on my profile, and
I was so disappointed. And let me say this, I do photograph the guys too, because not a lot of photographers have shots of themselves working, so I send it.
Quit it. And it was your way of getting to know women. Oh, give me a break.
A lot of them will use it as their profile.
Thank you, Nicole. Okay. He loves to sit there and tell the story, but it's his move.
I'm going
to
move on. Anyway, I sent her the picture of her. She was at the side of the stage, and I shot her with the camera in front of her face, and she was shooting an artist, and she put that up as her profile picture, which was really nice.
This is years later.
No, that was right away. Then you pulled it, you changed your profile picture, which kind of disappointed me, but you changed it to a different picture. But then a year later, you put it back on, and somebody commented, said, "I love that picture of you. Who took it?" And your reaction was, I don't remember. I was so hurt.
Oh no.
What?
You're obviously hoping she remembered and was thinking of you.
Yeah, I made a big impression.
I didn't really know John at all.
No.
Didn't know him.
We didn't know each other.
No. Like, I knew him to see him, and he actually annoyed me when I first met him because he was doing
That's
all the things.
That's the start of all good relationships, though.
Yeah, because he was getting us all in trouble because I was the main photographer at Havelock, and, you know, I was allowed to be backstage and, you know, dealing with the artists as soon as they come off the stage and in front of the stage. And we would get special instructions. We weren't allowed to shoot, you know, at certain spots and, you know, during certain songs for certain artists. He'd be out there in the middle of the pack shooting away because he didn't really care. And we were getting in trouble for it. That's my introduction to him.
It's not that I didn't care. I just missed the memo.
Yeah.
That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. I like getting different shots than everybody else. That's all.
He just takes his chances. So now everybody's doing festivals. They're going to be watching for John Marshall now. Going, wait a minute, watch that guy because he's going to be taking shots he's not supposed to be. So, but that was my introduction. So 7 years later, he sought me out when I was in London, you know, doing the CCMAs. And shooting the carpet, and that's how we met. So I didn't know there was feelings there for me and that kind of thing. So it was just a really unique little story there. So very
meant to be. See, this is my favorite part about like when I put out this song, I got to hear so many other people's love stories, and it's just my favorite.
And look at us turning this interview around to us.
That's what I said. This is my favorite part. I love it.
Unfinished stories. I related to the song.
On radio, we can't do this. It's like, get the story. But on podcast, you love it. Yes, I love this.
But that's what I mean. Like, this was such a special story. But talk about some of the lines in this. You had some really cool lines that were in this song. And you guys did the video to this, too. And he was in it.
Yes. Yeah. So Damon's actually an actor. He does a lot of acting. And so I thought, well, hey, you know, might as well come be in the video. Not that it's, you know, too hard of a role to play yourself, but
but you guys played yourselves in this.
But yeah, it was really, really cool because we filmed it in Alliston where we live.
And, oh my
and they
God.
Have this potato festival here every year. And, you know, we always go to it, but that was actually one of our first dates back in the day. Was he took me to the potato festival, and so yeah, it was so fun. For a
did
video,
you get mashed?
Decided to
oh stop! I'm sorry about that. He's gonna throw those in. You tell him.
See, some people get smashed, but at the potato festival, you get mashed.
Right? You get mashed.
Go ahead.
I definitely ate a lot of fries, but
that's right.
But yeah, we thought for this video, you know, how fun would it be to sort of recreate that? So we went to the festival to film it, and we sort of dressed up as if we were 18 again, and it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. But tell us about the lines in this song, because you guys got some really cool hooks in here.
Well, I think a lot of people's favorites are the first few lines of the chorus, which is, we were one stroke away from a masterpiece. We were one note away from a symphony.
Yes.
Very cool.
Which, yeah. So again, I have to credit Nolan. He was a part of writing this song as well. And yeah, we kind of tweaked those lines a bunch until we landed there. And then I just absolutely loved the way that came together and how it really said, you know, exactly the feeling of the song, but in such a creative way.
Well, is Nolan, is he got a wife, or does he have a girlfriend, or is he single?
Yeah. No, he's married. He's married and has two or three girls. Cause yeah, that's why
he
understands women.
That's right. So now, you know, he's going to get a lot of knocks and calls and everything, because he knows how to put those romantic words together, right?
Yes, he's Nolan Sipe. I should give his last name. He's a great writer. So, you know, if anyone, he's actually from LA, so, you know, anyone hanging out in the LA area, if you're looking to write a song, give Nolan a call.
Well, what's his wife's name?
I'm not sure. I never met his wife when we met, so.
Okay, well, we were going to give a big shout out to her to say, you know, way to go for, you know, being able to.
Way to go, Nolan's wife.
Yes, yeah. For being able to keep that romance going, I'm telling you, because that's amazing when you hear, you know, songs like that. They're pretty special, and that was a great song on this album here, so you must be really proud of that. And we are too. I am so glad.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's done really well for you. Same thing, all women, we can't forget about you on the CMAOs, because, you know, you came out with this very last song, and that's called it's called Broken Boys, and I love this song. Absolutely love this song. And you performed it on October 4th.
And, I did.
On a very special show. And so tell us about that.
Well, so cool to be part of that experience. First of all, this is my first time being on the award show and performing on the award show. So, so cool to be part of that experience, and just extra special to be on this first ever drive-in award show. So, you know, congratulations to the CMA Ontario and all the team members who put that on, because they really did amazing work to make that happen.
Didn't they? They did an amazing job, you know, because when we watched the CCMAs and then when we went to watch the CMAOs, like, I'm telling you, they did a phenomenal job.
It was amazing.
It just smooth sailing. And, you know, it was just so well put together, and absolutely loved the show. And what a great performance for you coming out with this song. I know you've been nominated on that stage before. You were nominated again this year. And
thank you.
You know, to turn around and be able to have that 2 years in a row, but to be able to perform Broken Boys, what a special song this one is. So we're going to play it right now, and we'll come back and talk about it. This is Broken Boys, Nicole Ray on Music's Journey.
The brand new single, Broken Boys, Nicole Ray on Music's Journey. I'm John Marshall, now back with her special guest, Nicole Ray, with two Y's. Here is Kim Sear.
How was it for you to play the stage this year with the females that were playing this year?
Amazing. I mean, there's so much talent in Ontario. It just blows my mind. And you know, to be in this community and see the talent that we have here and the females that we have here, I'm truly honored to, you know, even have had my name in the hat, you know, for a female artist, and to be able to get up on the stage amongst these other amazing performers and play Broken Boys.
And it was also written by Emma Lee and Megan Patrick, correct?
Yes, it sure was. Also, Dave Thompson, he's the third writer on the song. And I'm, you know, very thankful that these ladies sort of gifted me this song and allowed me to put my voice on it, because it's another really special one to me, something that I really relate to, and, you know, a message of empowerment that I'm trying to spread with this song. And I feel very blessed that these ladies sort of trusted me to sing the song and put it out there.
How did it come to you, this song?
So, a lot of people know I work with Jordan Elliott. She's my manager, and she also manages Megan Patrick as
right.
well.
Okay.
And so, and she works with Emma Lee as well. Like that, she's gotten songs from Emma in the past, and so yeah, we knew we were going back into the studio, and that we were wanting to write some songs, but also that we were open to some pitches. And so Emma had sent the link to Jordan, who sent it to me. And she said, oh, here's, you know, a bunch of songs. Let me know if you love any of them. And immediately this one stood out to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, are you serious? Neither of these girls want to sing this song? Like, are you sure? Because it's just so well written. It's such an amazing tune. And, you know, similar to my story with Fireproof, you know, when I heard this demo, I just, and it's Megan singing on the demo, so of course it's fabulous. And I just listened to it over and over again and thought, oh yes, like, I need to record this. I hope that it's still available. And so yeah, Emma said, gave her blessing, and of course Megan and Dave as well, and let me record it. And I'm just so grateful.
It's such a great song. And I think that, you know, especially today, it doesn't matter, I guess, what genre, really. You know, you can flip the words boys if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, it has the same message for everyone and what people go through in relationships. And I think this has got such an empowering message. What was the message you wanted them to get from this?
That she can work on her own car.
For me, it's really been about letting people know that, you know, it's okay to be broken. We're all a little bit broken, you know. We all have gone through stuff in life and have baggage that we carry with us and bring with us into a relationship. And it's so wonderful in life to be able to find a partner and someone to help you carry that baggage that gets heavy sometimes. But it's so important to not sacrifice yourself to help somebody else. You know, we can't fix people or change people, especially if they don't want help or they don't want to be changed. And I think that's sort of the trap that we get into sometimes. And, you know, I know that I've been there before, where you're with somebody and it's just, you know, you're trying so hard to change them or fix them, but it's really, you can't do that at the sacrifice of your own happiness. And that always has to come first.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that, you know, stands true for so many relationships. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, because you want love to work and you have that special feeling for that person, but it becomes something else. And it becomes, can I live with the idea that I wasn't good enough, is how a lot of people look at it.
Definitely.
And that's the reasons why they can't break away from it, because they don't feel that they were good enough. And somehow they stick in it and stay with it, because they just want to feel somewhere, I need that validation that the love was real.
And yeah, I think that really comes back to, you know, self-love and self-empowerment and feeling good enough on your own, and having a relationship to kind of be there as a partner in life, but not complete you necessarily. Like, you are a complete person on your own. And obviously, like you said, that's where it can kind of get dangerous, if you need that validation from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, it happens way too often, because it starts out usually so great and then it rolls into that. And it's really hard to break away from, until that person realizes that, you know what, no matter what, I'm losing myself here. And this is where you got to step forward and be able to step away from that relationship, because it's just not healthy. This is such a great, great message with Broken Boys. So congratulations on that. I'm really, really glad that you got that song, because it's something that so many people are going through right now. And we hear that every day, you know, in the news, you know, with domestic violence and different things that are going on that are getting tougher with COVID. And, you know, a lot of these vices, a lot of the vices that are going on for people, that it's just amplifying things. And we're hoping that people can reach out and be able to get those coping skills that they need to be able to deal with things and kind of go through this COVID in a special way, where we're reflecting on what's important and, you know, not what's bad.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
just curious here, just watching the video, can you actually work on cars?
No.
So you're acting.
I know. I was going to say,
Damien, where'd you go?
Yeah, I've had mixed reviews on this, on people being like, oh, you should just own it. Like, you're really good at fixing a car. And like I said earlier, I'm a bad faker. So, you know, I couldn't lie about it. I definitely am not, you know, mechanically inclined in any way.
Well, you put the air filter on in the right place, so that's good.
Thank you. The guys who own the mechanic shop where we shot it in Uxbridge, they were all sort of behind the scenes helping me and showing me where to put things and how to move things and take them out. So I definitely had a lot of help behind the scenes helping me look like I could fix a car.
Poor Damon. I just yelled out Damien. It was supposed to be Damon, so I wanted to be.
Damien is a whole other thing. We don't want to get into.
So sorry, Damon.
We don't want to get into.
I get that a lot, so don't worry.
You know, when you're just rolling off the tongue and you're going with something, I just didn't even think about it. I went, oh, shoot. So my apologies, Damon. We love you. So, but such a great song. And I'm really glad that you wrote that. I had a feeling when I heard it that it was a Megan Patrick song, because yes. I know her work, and I love her. She is just one of the best female artists we have. And what an incredible writer and musician she is.
It definitely has her flair, 100%. You could tell in the writing, you can definitely tell there's some very Megan lines in there. So
that's right.
I'm very, very appreciative that she and the others wrote the song. And once again, like I said, that they were kind of gifted it to me to put my voice on it and share it with the world.
Now, what is next for you right now, since you just released this one?
So I am, you know, sort of already in the planning mode of thinking towards the next single. Mm-hmm. So I did record another song when I went to record Broken Boys, and this next one is called Sad Song.
Okay.
And it's a song all about that feeling that when you're sad, the best medicine is listening to a sad song.
It's so true. And,
right?
You know, like, it's so true.
Sad songs say so much.
Because it's just therapeutic. It's to know that somebody else is, you know, also feeling sad and understands you. And so I'm really excited about this song too, because I think it's one we can all relate to. And so right now we're sort of busy in planning mode for that, doing a photo shoot soon and working on the video for that as well.
Okay. So everybody can look forward to that brand new song coming out. I think that every single thing that you've got coming out now, and I think just that journey you're going to have, so many fans are going to be able to look forward to, because you're going to keep it raw and you're going to keep it real. And that's how I know you. And that's, I'm just so glad to see, you know, you on the radio and being able to release those kinds of songs, because you know what, there's so many women before you that have paved that way, that really took the knocks, you know, just to be able to get real songs on the radio that just weren't, you know, cookie cutter. And, you know, I am so proud of you for being able to stick to your guns and being able to write the songs and get them out there, no matter which way you're trying to do it. Because I'm telling you, Nicole Ray, she's got a movement all her own. And you know what? You're empowering us all. So thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you very much. I very, very much appreciate that. And yes, that's what I'm trying to do with my music, just be honest and hope I can reach as many people as possible. So I hope to keep the Nicole Ray movement going.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll help you. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
We're just going to do some of the questions that we've got for you. And it's called our question answer period. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a word and I'm going to ask you to answer it in one word. If you have to.
One word answers.
That's right. So I just want to see how you feel.
And good luck.
Okay. Success is?
Happiness.
Favorite song that you haven't played yet?
A new song. I did play it on a live stream, so this is more than one word, but Strangers with Memories.
Can you tell us about that one?
This is a song that I wrote during quarantine with a writer. His name's David Boris, and it was actually our first time writing together. It was a Skype write, but this was a title I've had in my phone for a while, and like I said, I did debut it on a live stream a little while ago, but it's new and hasn't really been out there yet. But I think another relatable song, I'm hoping. It's all about that feeling that when you're in a relationship with somebody, you know them so well. You know everything about them. You share all these memories and experiences with them. But then when you're not together anymore, it's like you're total strangers now, but you just are strangers that share these memories still.
That's really cool. I really like that. That's really interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Okay, let's see. Happiness is?
Music.
Cool. What favorite place would you love to see?
Greece.
Okay. And here's a cool one here. Let's see what she says. Favorite dog's name?
Noko.
I love Noko. I've seen Noko in the background. I think it was
he's so cute. He was actually just trying to claw into my office like 2 minutes ago. I could hear him. I was like, hi, buddy.
Such a beautiful dog. Such a beautiful dog.
I just put Mocha down, our dog. She's been wanting to get up. Yeah.
She's a little lap dog.
My arm is killing me.
No.
Now.
I don't think Noko would be able to sit in a lap too easy.
No, he tries, but he's heavy.
What is he, a 165 or more?
I don't actually know how much he weighs. We haven't taken him for a weigh in a while, but he's got a lot of fur, especially now that winter is happening. He's a husky, so he's
beautiful.
Very
beautiful, beautiful boy. What is the favorite song on your playlist today?
Ooh, there's so many. How do I choose? I think I have to go with All Good, Alessia Cole's new tune. That's at the top of my playlist right now.
Okay. What was your favorite thing about country music?
The stories.
Okay. If you had three things that you could do to change this world, what would they be?
Ooh, more love, more peace, and more music.
Okay. If you had a chance to do a do-over of a moment in your life, no matter how difficult it may be, you just wish you could do it over, what would it be and why?
I don't believe in do-overs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a lot of things where, like, in the moment, I'm like, oh, I totally regret that. But just in hindsight, I just don't believe in do-overs. Everything happens for a reason, to teach
you
something.
Good answer. Out of all of your albums... all of your body of work, let's put it that way. What is your favorite song? You might not have released it yet, or is just something that means so much to you?
I think it's constantly changing, but right now I'd have to say All Woman.
Okay. All right. Do you remember your very first song you wrote?
Yes.
What's the name?
Yes, I actually, so funnily enough, the name of it is Only Everything, which is the name of my first EP, and it's not a song on there, but I named the EP Only Everything because I wanted to show how far I had come by making this EP from when I wrote this first song when I was like 13 years old. And I actually have a big tattoo of it.
Do you?
Only Everything tattoo on my hip.
Awesome. Now, if you could give advice to somebody starting out now, knowing what you've learned, what would it be?
Always believe in yourself and don't let the negativity get you down. This industry is really hard. There will be a lot of people that say no to you or don't understand what you're doing. But as long as you believe in yourself and you know who you are as an artist, nothing else matters.
Perfect. You see so many artists today using platforms to talk about hurdles and vices that they faced in their lifetime so that they could help somebody else. You know, it might be another artist or it might be, you know, a male or female fan going through something. What is the one hurdle that you've had to cross?
I think mental health has been a big thing for me. And I know that a lot of people are opening up the conversation about that these days, but that was definitely something that I, you know, didn't talk about for a long time. And I struggled and with depression and anxiety, and I was always kind of the person who was like, oh yeah, I don't need help, I'll just figure it out myself. And and I think at one point I came to realize that, you know, getting help doesn't make you less than in any way. And, you know, it's important to talk to somebody and get help. And that was a big thing for me to overcome and get to a place mentally where, you know, I don't care what other people think of me, or, you know, think I don't let negative things get me down, because I know that, you know, I can overcome those things and be mentally tough and strong and talk to somebody if I need help and figure it out.
It's the beginning of a journey, right? Because mm-hmm. once you start and recognize that, you know what, it is okay to talk about it, the moment you do that, your life starts.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like a huge weight off, mm-hmm. just that first step.
I have a new podcast that's coming out. It's called Real Life, Real Issues. And I'd love to have you on. And that's
Absolutely.
One of the topics that we want to really tackle, because we lose a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, to mental illness. But at the same time, there's so many different forms. And it could just be yes. anxiety that is not something that you're born with. It's just something that, you know, what has developed over, you know, stresses or, you know, mm-hmm. mothers that are just having newborn babies, to mm-hmm. a job stress, to, you know, school, bullying, so many different things. Like, you know, it takes Definitely. So many different forms. And we want to be able to give that platform to those subjects so that people do have the tools and skills. And I think coming from artists, it's such a big deal, because you guys have a platform like nobody else. And yes. when you write those tunes, that's why so many people, you know, it saves lives. Because yes. so many people have said that if it wasn't for music and that song or music period, it would have been a different end for their life. And mm-hmm. I think it's just such a universal language that so many of us understand and need so much. And, you know, we're grateful for those songs being written by you and the artists and the songwriters out there. So I would love to have you on that show.
I would love to be on it. I think that's such an important topic and so important to share. And like you said, so important to share real life stories to mm-hmm. help somebody else, because that can make a huge difference, whether it be a song or just a conversation where somebody hears that and then they feel like they're not alone in the situation and it helps them get through.
I think that so many people hear it in a song, or so many people can hear it the moment they're around somebody else, you know, that's done this or had that experience. It's just such a huge moment, and that's where they step through. It's just when mm-hmm. they feel alone and feel isolated and that they're the only one and what's wrong with me, you know, yes. kind of thing. That's the damaging side of it. But the moment they get in front of a group or hear somebody else say that they've gone through it, that's the moment that they step up and say, you know what, it's okay, I'm not the only one. And it's just those yes. words, those words alone that make that difference. And that's that platform we want to be able to have, you know, to be able to help some people out. So where can everybody see you right now? Where can everybody find you right now to get the latest news? Because you got that new song coming up, Sad Song. And yes. We don't want to miss that one. And we want everybody to be able to, you know, take it to their local radio stations and get them to play it.
Well, you can check out my website, which is NicoleRayWith2Ys.com. You can also follow me on all the socials. Instagram is my favorite, which is @NicoleRayWith2Ys Music. I'm also on Facebook.com/NicoleRayMusic and on Twitter @NRay.
Wonderful. And what I'm going to do too is on Now and Then magazine, there's an article that's going to be written for you. And we're going to have some of your videos on there, so ones that obviously are your music videos, but also some other videos that you've done, so fans can get to know you a little bit more. And we'll have all of your contact information on there, and obviously we're going to put your merch on there and yes. Help these artists out, but help Nicole, because you know what, she's a really hard-working songwriter and singer, so we just need her out on the road soon and being able to help yes. her to produce these records, so we love so much. Thank you so much for being a part of Music's Journey, and I look forward to talking to you again and being able to have you on and talk about your new music.
Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure chatting with you, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time and all that you do to support artists. So thank you so much, Kim.
Oh, well, thank you. And we're just going to give you a big clap, because the nominations, performance, and everything that you've done this year, congratulations, and especially a difficult year like this. So we can't wait to see what you can do for 2021. You're going to lift so many spirits, and you're going to help so many people. I just know that. So thank you for who you are, and thank your mom for us, and thank Damon for us, and
I will,
and your management, you know, because they're obviously doing such a great job, and we really wish you all the best. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Take care, and thanks once again for joining us on Music's Journey.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, hon. You take care, and
you too.
And we will talk to you again soon. Take care of yourself.
Got to get those sunglasses.
You too.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
We got to do this. We got to end it. I don't know what you're doing. It's like, what are you doing?
We've got to end this.
We got to end this. Okay. Well, thanks to our very special guest here today, and that's Nicole Ray. What a great Canadian singer-songwriter on Music's Journey. What a special show that was, and a lot that we got to share. And, you know, a little bit more on the personal side, stuff that we need to talk about with artists and, you know, the platforms that they have and how we can help fans out, but also to help the artists out when it comes to being able to help raise some funds and for fans to understand how difficult it is for them just to be able to release one song. So thank you for tuning in to Music's Journey. We've got some great ones coming up for you. We've got Kelsey May coming up. We've got Owen Barney coming up, Ryan Laird, The Recklaws. We've got so many. We really hope that you're going to stay tuned and join us again on Music's Journey. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Once again, a great big thank you to Nicole Ray with two Y's, that's R-A-double-Y, for being with us today. You've been listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Please like us on Facebook and share us on all your socials. Our theme music is titled I Can Tell and is performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.